Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, welcome to episode 206 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
So, it wasn't a good weekend for the Cherries, was it, Tom?
No.
We're going to get stuck into it very, very soon. We've got Neil Dawson here with us. Neil, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Glad to be back.
Good stuff. So, before we get stuck into the game, Tiggs was outside the stadium doing the fan cams, and it's fair to say there were some raw opinions.
Okay, well, here we are outside of Dean Court. It was not the result we wanted. 1-0 up, looked like it was going to be a good game, but then all of a sudden things changed very quickly after the break with an early goal in the second half from Wolves and then a sending off from Lewis Cook, and it did change the game and Wolves were able to get another goal. Devon, good to see you. What did you think of the game today?
Like I said, obviously we went up 1-0 in the first half, which was excellent. But actually went downhill from second half after conceding an easy goal from them.
Can we take anything good from that game, do you think?
Not going to lie, probably not.
No, I'm not feeling very happy about it either. Burnley next,
hopefully
pick ourselves up.
Hopefully we can get a win from that.
Yeah.
Hopefully a 2-1 win from that.
Game of two halves.
Yeah. First half we were pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah.
And then second half, we just came out a different team. And to be honest, came out with a different ref as well, honestly. The referee in the first half was decent. He didn't make any major mistakes, in my opinion. But then in the second half, it was absolutely awful. That is one of the worst refereeing performances I've seen this season. It was indescribable, honestly.
What would you pick out, Josh, as being an example of being poor there? What do you...
He would always give the benefit of the doubt to Wolves and not us.
Yeah.
There, for example, even the red card, in my opinion, not a red card. I have seen the replays.
Okay, I haven't.
And
okay.
Of course, there are going to be some still images that look a bit iffy, but football isn't played with still images. And although on paper they dominated us, I think we had something like 34% possession, 0.61 XG to their 2. Whatever. I don't think they dominated.
Okay.
In the first half, at least.
I think in the second half, maybe we had to let them have the ball, didn't we? Because we never meant to press in the same way.
Yeah, and I honestly, as soon as Kiefer Moore came on, I knew we'd pretty much given up.
Okay.
I don't know what Andoni sees in him. When the team sheets came out, I was like, right, we've got a good team here. I reckon we can do something, and we just didn't.
Yeah.
We were 1-0 up, and then we came out second half and immediately they scored, and that just made them have the momentum, and we just had nothing behind us. And I think they had like 20 shots or something. Okay. Ridiculous. Yeah, we should have won it in the first half. And then in the second half, I think Gary O'Neill probably slipped the referee something.
Hey, Kirk, how you doing?
This has been an interesting one for you. I hope not too many Bournemouth fans lose their minds, because there's a lot to digest in that.
There is a lot, isn't there? Now, this is not just one game we're talking about, is it?
No.
There's a sentiment that's kind of brewing.
Yeah.
So where are you at with it, Kirk?
I'm at with it that Rome wasn't built in a day. This is drastically different to anything we've ever done before. We had a tough fixture list, as we know.
Yeah.
We had a window we thought was good, but actually on reflection wasn't as good as we thought, because we've got a lot of wingers.
Yeah,
we got a Tyler Adams we're not going to see till March, and we look very unbalanced. You can maybe question Iriola in the last few weeks in some of his lineups and playing Dangu Tara from the start, and I get all of that, but you can't put anything on Iriola today. You know, he played Billing in the position we all want him to play in. He got Alex Scott in this side. We scored a good goal. And then you have a moment of madness from Lewis Cook. Neto again shows himself to have lack of leadership and calmness. And Andoni Iriola's on the sidelines telling him,
we have got
10 men, slow the game down. And he's playing the ball to Billing with no support, and he's on his arse. Excuse my language, he's on his feet.
Yeah.
And that's not an Iriola today. And I feel for the guy right now, because we did need to win. You would have taken a draw at the end.
Mm.
But I don't know what happens from here. That's not on him today.
No, it's not on him today. And it's very difficult, isn't it, to see what direction. I mean, you're right. This is supposed to be a project, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a complete change. So if we were to change, all we'd be doing is changing back to a, you know, and yes, Wolves won today, but another Gary O'Neill, another pragmatic. You'd be saying all those ideas that they had as a team, as a leadership team, management team, are going out the window.
Yeah. So the question for me is not should we or should we not have kept Gary O'Neill.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a fan who wants your team to just get points and you don't care what the football's like, that's fine. Then you keep Gary O'Neill. But that's not Bill Foley's philosophy. Foley made it clear at the start of the season he wants to go for a Brighton-type model.
Yeah.
He wants excitement. He wants dynamic. He wants philosophy, identity. And that's why he switched it up.
Yeah.
We've gone for Andoni. He's had a lot to deal with. We keep shooting ourselves in the foot week in, week out. We must be running out of bullets. There can't be much left.
And feet.
And the big question is, if it ends up not working out, the question for me is it's just unfortunately not Andoni.
Yeah.
We just need to find the person that can deliver this philosophy that Bill Foley wants. Now, we're in a position right now, Tiggs, where we do need to pick up points, right?
We really do, yeah.
4 or 5 games, we've got Man City in there as well, but we need to pick up points. But over 38 games, Bill Foley wants a philosophy. He wants an exciting team. He wants an identity. That's why he changed from Gary O'Neill. If he just wanted us to pick up points and it's ugly, he would have sticked with Gary O'Neill. That's where my ideas are. That's where I am with.
Yeah.
We're in a bit of a pickle now because we've got to pick up some points. But Bill Foley said he would live and die by the sword. And if it meant that we got relegated, he would live by that decision. I don't want us to get relegated, but it's not on Iriola today.
No, it's not. Thanks, Kirk. Yeah. It's good to see you, buddy. Hello. Come on on.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi, what's your name?
Matt.
Hi, Matt. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Brilliant.
I've watched the channel quite often back from the States.
Oh,
so
fantastic. Where in the States?
North Carolina.
North Carolina,
yes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
What's the weather like there right now?
Oh, a whole lot warmer than this. Probably 70s, 80s if we're lucky.
Yeah,
so
you're doing well in just the t-shirt, to be fair. I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah. This is the first home game I've been to.
Okay.
Not great.
No.
Not great. Great first half.
Yeah.
Strong lineup. Love the selections. I personally don't have anything against Iriola.
No.
I think he did a good job. I think we failed within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Goal. How many times have we done that?
Yeah,
I think
too
I
many.
Could count 5 easy on my, at least this season. Within the second half, just letting it go in.
Yeah.
And then to go down a player. I didn't see it. Was it a red card?
Everyone that was near it, who I've asked, said yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which is surprising. Lewis Cook, of all people.
Yeah.
You know, at first I thought it was Milos, and I was like, okay, I get it. The
Hungarian.
Yeah,
he gets a bit fiery.
Yeah. A little surprised. But the stinks is, I thought Lewis did great before that.
Yeah.
I thought he was playing really, really well. One of the highest workers, him and Christie. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I feel like we don't have any wingers. Like, just nobody shoots.
No, nobody shoots. Not enough shots getting off.
Enough shots. It's kind of the same old. There were shots at the end.
Yeah.
Billen had a shot, but stuff.
Yeah.
I think next week's a big test.
It is a big test. It is a big test. Yeah.
For sure.
So when's the next time you think you'll be able to make a game over here? Because, I mean, what was the other game that you saw?
So back in 2017.
Yeah, okay.
2-2 draw at Anfield.
Oh, nice.
Steve Cook long throw
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I remember yeah. that. Yeah.
That was beautiful. But back then we had fight.
Yeah.
Today it was tough. I felt like we played a different style in the first half too.
Yeah.
Less pressing. It was almost like we're playing like Gary O'Neill. Right? Okay, yeah. Kind of more in the half than the full-on press.
Yeah.
A lot of people shouting around me for that press at the beginning. But
yeah.
Hey, it worked out. Got a goal.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think we were just on the back feet. Stuff. Well, next time, I don't know when I'll be back, but I wanted to come before any sort of new stadium was built.
Yeah.
See the atmosphere.
Good,
yeah,
good,
yeah.
good, good.
It's yeah. beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we like it. It's small, but it's it works for us.
For sure.
For us. Yeah.
I think we'll get it. I think we'll stay up.
Yeah?
I do.
That's good.
The gears are not clicking. We got to line them up. Again, might be the American to all you people, reminding you of Foley and all of his big talk. But
yeah,
I think we can do it. I do.
Well, I like your positivity. Thank you, man. Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
So for the 2023-24 season, Back of the Net is sponsored by Green King Sports, where football is more than a game. Green King Sports venues are showing every televised Bournemouth fixture over the 23-24 season. And just so you know, Green King Sport have just recently launched the Green King Sport Instagram page, which will be home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. So make sure you drop them a follow. Yeah, it's a huge fortnight of sport ahead with the Premier League, rugby, alas, England aren't in it, cricket all taking centre stage. To celebrate, Green King is giving listeners of this podcast 20% off drinks until the 29th of October, an hour before, during and after the game. All you need to do is download the Green King Sport app. If you've not downloaded it before, you'll even get a free welcome pint. So head to the App Store, download the Green King Sport app, get 20% off your round and don't miss a minute of the action. I missed 90 minutes of the action, thankfully, on Saturday, and I was at a wedding and I'm glad I was. This is the league table. Bournemouth are not above the dotted line. We are where we are, and the return of Gary O'Neill was a successful one to him. Got to say, he was very gracious in victory, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's played every media interview, all the stuff he did pre-match, post-match. I think he's played it absolutely perfectly. Not surprised at that, though, to be honest. I think he played most things pretty switched on when he was with us as well. But yeah, no, I thought he was incredibly gracious in defeat when he, you know, there must have been a temptation there to stick a couple of metaphorical two fingers up at various people, but yeah. No, he handled it brilliantly.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's like Neil, I was saying off camera that, you know, listen, he's obviously had a decent payoff. He's obviously, you know, being let go here, but he's walked into a big football club in Wolves, and we gave him that opportunity to be able to do that. So, you know, I think, yes, deep down, I bet he would have thought that was nice, of course. But I think he also knows that, you know, we gave him that opportunity to get the job he's at now. But yeah, I agree with what Neil said. He come across well, I thought. And we get into the game. It was kind of what I expected, really, from a Gary O'Neill Wolves side.
Yeah. 2-1 was the final score, as we all know. And the first half was all right. Second half was all right for the first 15 seconds or whatever it was. But I think you're right in terms of the way Wolves played it. But it's fair to say that he was very motivated to get a result in this one.
Yeah, of course.
Probably felt unfairly dismissed. Andoni Areola was feeling the pressure as well, but in a different way. Winless in the Premier League. Neil, still winless. It's not looking good, is it? It's not feeling good. The culture seems to be very negative, very pessimistic. Things seem to be wrong.
It doesn't feel good. I mean, if we don't beat Burnley, we'll have gone six calendar months without a win. Obviously in the summer we didn't play, but it's a long, long time for any sporting organisation to go without a league win. And that has to rub off on players. It's got to rub off on the staff. You can see it even when we go 1-0 up, we don't get confidence flowing through the veins like we used to. And if we go 1-0 down like at Everton, you could just see them thinking, game gone. And I think that's just classic symptoms of a team that have gone six whole months nearly 6 months without a win.
And that, like you say, that filters not just to the players, but to the whole club and to the fans. That's going to filter through, isn't it, when you go that long without a league victory. So, yeah, and as Neil said, we even took the lead in this game, and it didn't, it never, I never felt like, you know, we're in the lead, let's kick on, let's get set. It just, it doesn't feel right. And I think from the player's point of view, it doesn't feel like they have that confidence to be brave, go and get on the ball, go and want to do that. I thought Lewis is probably the one that does it the most. And obviously we all know what happened with him in the game. So yeah, it's a difficult one and it's confusing because it feels like this should be the most exciting era, you know, with all the kind of stuff around it and the money spent and new ownership. And it feels really rubbish at the moment everywhere, doesn't it? And there's nothing that enjoyable at the moment.
It's a similar feeling, I think, when they took over in that January when we were awful. I know that there were new players filtering through in that month, but it took us a while to get going.
Yeah.
It just sometimes feels as though, will it get going? I don't know. It just feels very negative at the moment. But we have got some players coming back, like Alex Scott.
Yeah, that was a positive.
Tyler Adams in 2026 or whenever it is.
You know where Tyler Adams was the last time he won a league game?
Go on.
He wasn't in the squad for the team he played because he was injured. And Lerner scored two for us. It was against Leeds. So, that says it all. But yeah, like you say, that was actually, if you think about it, you go pause him out of the game, was just to get Alex Scott back out there, wasn't it? I think it was as I expected. He looked like he'd been out for a while. But you saw it with the goal. I liked the fact that he wanted to get the ball and he wanted to try. I think there was a few British City fans I saw online said, you can tell he's been out because he wasn't driving like he's known to do. But, you know, that's a positive, just getting him back in there for sure, because we need some bodies in that middle of the pitch.
He wasn't match fit. And no. I think that's the sign of where we're at. That's not the first time this season where we've played a player that's not match fit. But I think we're that desperate that we've got to get people in. I can't imagine in an Eddie Howe side he would have played him for another couple of weeks. Mm. And he looked really bright in parts, but he also looked quiet. And he was part of that thing that we had recently where when the midfielders get up the pitch, there's a couple of times when Lewis Cook got to almost the byline and crossed it, we lost the ball and no one can get back. So he's just got this what I always call a Lerma size hole, but it's probably it's an anyone size hole really. There's this massive gap with everyone trying to sprint back to catch people up, and he was part of that as well. So I think there's a whole new system that we're trying to adjust to. And I think the players haven't quite cracked it yet.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think Gary O'Neill even alluded to the fact that because of the way we play, they wanted Hwang and Neto to get into them kind of number 10 positions because he knew in transitions, like Neil says, because we're so far up the pitch, they can, and the amount of times they're just running in on our back four because there's that massive hole and you could tell that they'd worked on that and they were just getting players in their pockets to receive the ball and then they're in on us. So, yeah, a little bit of a concern. But like I say, we're trying to develop a completely alien philosophy to a lot of these players compared to what they had last season, and it's hard because we're not getting results out of it either, so that's not going to rub confidence off into the players that, oh, this new style, you know, we're not getting anything out of it. So
it feels like the players that we've got on the type of football that he's trying to implement is a confidence based like style almost, because there have been so many individual errors and it's not surprising that we are afraid to do the things that he wants us to do. We've been making so many individual... I can think of the first game of the season, Joe Rothwell gifting Jared Bowen that opener. We all know Milos Kerkez. There have been others. And then Neto in this one. I don't know. It just feels like the players are almost, trying to force it sometimes.
Or are they the players that... I'm not even sure if we've signed the players really for this, for the Iriola system. So... It was interesting, Tom was saying off air that Gary O'Neill said today that the signings that have come in were a lot the ones that he'd been suggested to him and to have a look at.
To Gary O'Neill?
To Gary O'Neill.
Okay.
So, and I think we have a way of working, which isn't unusual, where there's another group of people that sign players. It's not the manager. And I wonder, when you look at his style of play, have we, clearly you would have midfielders that would have a hell of a lot of legs and energy, because they're going to have to play in that system. I imagine that's probably what he had in Real Vallecano. We don't have any of that here, and it's a really unforgiving league to try and play a system that you don't have the players for. He's only got Solanke, I think, up front that can play a system. Kiefer Moore can't when he comes on. Semenyo doesn't seem to be able to. So it's not like we've worked on the philosophy of Iriola with the players that we brought in as well. And I think that just shows, because that's when I think people start making mistakes, because they're not feeling confident.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, like Neil said, they're not alien to a football club to have a different team working on transfers and it not being up to the coach. But if that is the case, like Gary's obviously said, that it's the same players we were looking at under... Well, it's a completely change of style. So to think that them players are the right for... But is strange. I think that's very strange. I think you, there's always going to be a few in there that you can just figure, you know, they're top players and they're young players and they'll be able to adapt, etc. But yeah, to not maybe adapt your transfer targets to the gaffer we've got. I always allude to the fact that we, that Jay Nanty was trusted under Iriola early.
Well, he was involved in every of his games before he moved.
And he could do the press.
Yeah, he just, don't get me wrong, I mean, we haven't seen it, but Sinisterra is probably a more talented and better footballer than Jay Nanty, probably. It would suggest that from statistics and all that stuff. But Iriola was playing a certain way, and he trusted Jaden in that. He clearly did, because he was using him every single game. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that would have gone down too well. And that's just, yeah, that I don't want to, you don't know, but there's screams of we've got an opportunity to get someone that's a bit like, well, sexy winger that everyone will get excited about. So just give him Jaden, because he's, you know, he's a young lad that's come from the academy. Yeah, it doesn't feel like there was much thought in that, other than Sinisterra sounds cool and he's been linked with Barcelona and stuff, so we can get him, why not?
The bit I don't understand as well is, if you think about it, we start, probably our first choice winners, if you ask most fans, at the start of the season would have been Tabs and Brooks, if both were going to be fit. We then had Jaden Anthony and Ouattara as backup, both of which are excellent backup. And then we have Christie, who played there superbly before, Semenyo, who's played there before, and Traore, who can do a job off the left. So you couldn't have been more covered in that one position, where we were so sparse in central midfield. We don't have a reserve left back. You know, to then go out and think, let's go and get Kluivert.
Yeah.
Let's go and get Sinisterra.
Yeah, it's strange.
You're in the position where you've got eight people that can play on the wing,
yet
we're relying on Lewis Cook in centre, defensive midfielder, who's now out for three games. God forbid, if anything, it's only luck that Kirkus has got through every game, every Carling Cup game, or whatever it's called now, and every international for Hungary.
And you can even go to Dom Solanke, because Kiefer Moore can't do, you know, we all know what Kiefer Moore is, but, you know, even that's a position where you go, if anything happens to Solanke, I mean, you know, and yeah, I mean, it's ironic now that obviously Lewis has got his suspension, because I was saying before, after the Tyler Adams injury, I was going, We're a Lewis Cook injury away from disaster now.
Yeah.
And he's not even a natural defender. I quite like him in that role, and I think he's been playing well. But yeah, exactly. I mean, you're looking now and going, well, Ben Pearson would get in our team.
He would.
You know, he hadn't been in our team for ages. Ben Pearson would get in. Now we're calling for, no disrespect, but everyone's going, oh, we need Meppen back in. He hadn't been a first team regular for a long time. It's strange that, yeah, now you start looking at the squad and there seems a real imbalance, doesn't there? It feels a bit Football Manager. Yeah. It feels like we're signing all these sexy players, but are they what they need?
I saw someone suggesting, you know, maybe Gavin Kilkenny could come in and do that job. And I thought, well, yeah, here was a guy that couldn't really get in our side of the Championship, couldn't get in Charlton's side last year. But the position that we're in, we've spent 170 odd million. We've got, you know, wingers to die for. And then people are suggesting maybe Gavin Kilkenny's in with a shout. Just poor. That's why I think Iriola's been let down. That's why I think they'll probably, if they've got a heart, they'll give him. There's a number, I know we'll talk about it later, there's a number of other reasons as well, but that's one reason to me. They haven't given him the bedrock to succeed.
Do you think, you say that Iriola's been let down, do you think almost Foley's been let down as well? Because he's chucked a lot of money at this project. I think sometimes naively, I genuinely sometimes feel as though he thinks it's the same as what he can do with Las Vegas, but the Premier League is a different animal completely. And it's almost like you're buying these elements to, or these components to fit these different, you know, positions. This is how he plays. He's heavy on wingers, so we buy loads of wingers, but it's just not transpiring at all at the moment. And I don't know, it just seems a bit of a naivety. Lerma, we knew he was going all season.
Mm-hmm.
Never found a replacement. Well, we did, but he's out injured. We should have ideally had two replacements, really.
Because we didn't get him. Pearson.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So do you think maybe Foley's been let down as well?
Yeah, no, 100%. He's if he was to bring in an outside consultant, and if there was one thing you hope he would do, he would go and get an outside consultant to come in and give him an analysis of what's gone on. The outside consultant, I'm sure, would come in and say, well, what's gone wrong is you've not been short of cash. So we're not one of those clubs that can knock the owners for, you know, like some clubs are saying, the owners never put their hands in their pocket. He's more than put his hands in his pockets. I think we're the fourth biggest spender in Britain this calendar year, and 17th in Europe or some stat like that. He's done his bit. But the people he's given that money to, you know, as we just said, the squad imbalance is just horrific for the amount of money that they've had. And I'm sure if he brought a consultant in, his consultant would say, you've given the money to people that haven't used your money correctly. I'm sure they would.
But then it could be the manager, but it could be the manager that's just not making these perfectly good players gel. We don't know.
Oh, well, we don't know. You don't need to see that if a new manager comes in. Yeah. But still, if that new manager came in, they wouldn't have a centre of midfield, and they would have nine people that can play left wing. That's the fundamental issue.
Yeah, it's not trying to be as difficult, isn't it? Because like we said, everything from top to bottom doesn't feel right at the moment, and
we're trying to blame someone we don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know yet, and it's not. That's what I was going to say. It's not a blame game, but the fact of the matter is, since we were last in the Premier League, since we lost Eddie Howe, we all know what he did for the football club, and he ran the show. Since we've lost him, we've upgraded in every department in terms of transfer fees, spending loads of money. God knows how much we've spent since he's left. Obviously the training complex, we're looking at the stadium, blah, 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 new ownership and stuff. But we've still got the same chief exec and recruitment that we had back then. That's the only thing that hasn't been upgraded. So it is, which is strange. That is strange. And I think they'll should be a bit worried for their positions personally, because the fact that since Eddie left and we got relegated from the Premier League, we've spent, it'll be over 200 million quid, don't know the exact number, and our best players are Dom Solanke, who we already had, that apparently was a bad signer from Eddie at the time, from the media, was one of his flops, and Louis Kelly and Philip Billin, probably our three best players. So how are we in that position when we spent, since Eddie's left, we've spent an absolute fortune, and all the players we can rely on are the players that he had anyway. We haven't gone anywhere.
We should maybe play instead of Zabani, which he can't fall out with because Zabani's not.
No, he's not being brilliant.
Brooks, if he gets back the fitness, So if you list out the people, because we haven't listed all the other forward players that we've signed, that we no longer like Jamal Lowe and Dembele and just a sea of players that were never really. Bearing in mind, we always must have thought we were going to get back to the Premier League with the squad we had
in the championship.
They were all players that weren't going to contribute when they
I remember doing that January. You remember we had that mad January under Parker, Campwell and them lot?
Yeah.
It's only Kiefer Moore still, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we were like, this is like the biggest deadline day ever. We signed like seven players or something. It's only Kiefer Moore that's still available.
Yeah.
Because everyone else was just in for a few months and they were gone anyway because they weren't up to it. It's a bit of a concern at the moment. But equally, obviously at the moment, the players on the pitch and whatever we're trying to do just isn't working. And even with, a real imbalance and stuff, there are mistakes in the team that are happening that shouldn't be happening.
So is he trying to implement a style that the players aren't comfortable with?
I think it goes back to that confidence, like we were saying. If you've got a new style and then you can see it early or it's not going well for you, you're going to start at the back of your head. It's going to be hard to believe that. I felt the Everton game in particular, soon as we tried to come out from the back of Zabadi and he lost it and they scored, it felt like the whole team just like lost and thought, we can't keep playing like this. It feels like the whole set. I think we said this last week. Since that Kirkes own goal at Brighton, when we started the game well, everything's just been awful, hasn't it? Because there were signs against Anfield, there were signs against Brighton, there were signs against West Ham.
It's like we're going backwards.
And yeah, it feels like that a little bit.
And I suppose, we've done the criticism of the club and director of football and recruitment, etc. If you were to label a criticism at Iraola's door, I think there is an element, like you say, of if you do arrive at a squad and you've got a very set way of playing and you work out that maybe they can't do it, you have to adapt. You have to adapt your style a little bit. And I think the worrying thing for me is, I think no one would have known how he was going to play when he arrived. He was new. So we were catching teams out a little bit because they had no videos they could watch. They had nothing they could study. I think now what we're seeing is Premier League analysts are very good. They're probably the best in the world. I think they're now, you could see that Arsenal, Everton, and look, to your point with what Gary O'Neill did with his two guys in the 10 by 10 slot. This is analysts at work saying, right, we've got this sussed. What you need to do is this.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like he's ploughing on regardless because this is the way I play football. So something's going to get.
But playing in La Liga is completely different to the way of playing in the Premier League. And you sort of look at it. So really, it's Premier League inexperience. So that seems to be a thing. If I now go back four or five managers, Tindall, Woodgate, Parker, who didn't, of course, Premier League experience, but he didn't pull up any trees, got Fulham relegated. After that, O'Neill. We aren't signing managers that have got Premier League experience.
No. And will they come? That's the other question. I don't know. Because I think we're always going to be a side that is, you know, our best bet probably is a really strong championship manager or to do what we've done and go get someone from abroad. The safer bet is someone that's done something brilliant with a championship club, maybe got, you know, performed above the quality of the other squad. But that, you know, everything's a gamble. I'm not sure yet that someone like Graham Potter would sign up to a 10,000 stadium and Richard Hughes picking his players for him. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because that's a careful consideration to make for someone that's got an established reputation.
Yeah, I agree. I think the added thing to it is we won't, as we've kind of said, we won't know what the situation is going to be with the gaffer, with Iraola, and what he's going to have in his career. Obviously, he started it very well over in Spain. But I can't, in my opinion, I just think if he was given the players for his system, or if he was, you know, he had his own men or whatever, there's a good coach there. He's proven it. There's a good coach there.
Yeah, so, exactly. I think he'll come good wherever he eventually goes.
Yeah, and that's my worry, is we're gonna maybe press the panic button potentially soon, and he's going to go on and be a really good coach. But sometimes that doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. Maybe it didn't fit. But I look at what he's done in a period of time rather than a few months, and I think it's a good coach there. Everyone says it's a good coach there. There's, you know, so many people that have watched him, you know, closely, see how top coach he is. And just maybe it's not right fit. Maybe it's not right fit. But I look at our squad and I don't think it aligns. I really don't. You know, you're playing that style and then you've got no one to just sit in there and break the transitions up. It's always going to be a bit of a nightmare.
At the moment, because he's new into the club, I don't feel as though Irio is a sort of natural leader. And I think leaders are massively what we're missing at the moment, because we're not seeing it off the pitch. Obviously, it's not helped by the fact he can't have his assistant here, which is probably huge for him, because having an assistant is, you know, like, is massive. But even on the pitch as well, I'm not seeing much leadership above the managerial, like, you know, since Jeff Mostyn left. There's not that one figure. Yeah. Like,
we don't hear from anyone.
Really. No, we don't.
At all. We don't hear from the owner much. I mean, you never ever hear from Neil Blake or Richard Hughes. Well, I don't know if that's a deliberate thing, but you're right, Jeff Mostyn had that role. You can't underestimate not having an assistant manager. It's huge. Yeah. You know, everyone, you know, when you hear every manager talk, you know, Jurgen Klopp talks so evangelically about his assistant manager, you know, Eddie Howe, broke back to get Jason Tindall back with him, and you know, Jason Tindall will have a very set role that he'll do in an Eddie Howe squad. I imagine he does the joking, the bollocking. He'll do those sort of bits to allow Eddie to rise above it. Yeah, you know, Iraola will be doing all of the stuff that his assistant did, and probably if he's a good leader, he'll have picked an assistant that complemented his weaknesses. He's now not got that, so whatever Iraola's weaknesses are, most coaches will say, "Yeah, I need you to do that for me," to their assistant. He hasn't got that. That's a huge thing to arrive in a new country and not have your right hand man.
Yeah, strange. It's a whole strange situation with that assistant, because surely they would have been aware that, you know, we haven't really heard much about it, have we?
Has it ever happened to another club?
No. It feels like this might be like naive or me just like chucking out some conspiracy, but it feels like if it was Chelsea or Man United, they'd have got it sorted. And they would have their assistant. Do you know what I mean? And it would be talked about all the time. But I think most people, you know, Eddie Pundit, I don't know, Neville and Carragher, say are two of them. I don't think they would know that we haven't got our assistant.
Do we know why it is as well?
I think it's something to do with he hasn't got the required qualifications for this country, I believe.
He is here, though.
He is here, yeah.
So I don't know how much he's actually involved. He's there and thereabouts, but you never see him. Which is, you know,
because you're not allowed to see him, yeah. But
he's on Zoom. Like everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite possibly. And then you're going, you're on mute. You're on mute, mate. You're on mute.
Come on, we have a one. Turn it on. But it's true in the terms of the leadership. Because like you say, on the pitch, we lack it anyway. So to not have your assistant there as well, and then like you say, at the top, it does feel a bit like that. I know it's kind of it feels like a cliche to say when things aren't going right, but it does feel like we lack that a little bit. And then two of our most experienced players have let us down at the weekend.
We've got 26 minutes and not talked about the game. I was hoping we wouldn't, but I mean, look, when you saw the lineup at 2:00, I think many people were actually quite excited because you know, something new.
Yeah, and what kind of people hope for us? Please, Lloyd was back in there, obviously, and Max obviously come back in for Smithy as expected, but being in the role that we want to see him in, bang on. Didn't expect it to be Alex Scott, but that's a lovely little surprise. And then Brooksy and Tavernier with a wide belt I would have had. So, yeah, I like the look of the team. I think everyone was pretty happy with the team. So yeah, that was, and they team, I actually got theirs bang on, didn't I, on our preview. So theirs is what I expected as well. So yeah, I was happy going into it with, it was interesting the subs bench. I think it'll be interesting to see in the next game because it's probably easier to leave out kind of Sinisterra because he's been out in Colombia. So he's probably got back a bit later just because he's been out in South America. But Traore done make the bench. Yes, he's been out in Africa, but so Semenyo. So Traore didn't make the bench and Netham still didn't make the bench. So it shows that, you know, there's a few players that are being missed out there, maybe out of favour. But yeah, I was more than happy with the team. Gave me a little bit more confidence going into the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the team I wanted to see. Yeah.
And the first half was all right. We didn't exactly take it to them, but we were all right.
No, I mean, we're so lax in confidence. So I don't think we were ever going to go blitzing them for 45 minutes. But gradually, you could start to see patterns of play with triangles and getting closer to the box and, you know, Scott playing some good balls out wide to the left. And you could see what was happening. And when the goal came, it was a couple, three or four people and five or six players getting into the box, which is what we were always told, Iraola, rock and roll football, yeah. There's people flooding the box and then being able to get back and then flooding the box again. And I thought, oh, here we go. Look, we're starting to see signs of it. And then, yeah, we didn't quite get back into a position to get a second goal. Because I think if we went 2-0 up, I think we really would start to see the stadium relax, get rocking because the crowd were quite quiet again until we went to 10 men and then they lifted it. But yeah, it didn't really kick on, did it, from that?
No, it was really nice to see, like you said, when we were putting them balls out, we're like Billing out there with them. Like, we missed that, and obviously it transpired with the goal. But just see Billing involved in then little triangles on both sides, really nice. And even for the goal, Tavernier's bursting in the box as well. So yeah, it was nice, but as Neil said, it never felt like we kicked on to go and get that second, and then we would go, and like, come on then, Wolves, you've got to come at us now, we're 2-0 up. And it never really felt like that. Obviously, they had their moments. They hit the bar early before our goal, actually, didn't they? And Neto, by the way, is a top player. So he was causing us a few problems, and they've got some good players in there. But I never felt comfortable. Half-time, I was happy. I mean, I was messaging you with a point at half-time going, this is all right without you, mate. This is easy. But I walked back in, there was 1-1. So, yeah, it wasn't... It just never kicked on, unfortunately. It just never quite kicked on. If we had scabbed the second, like Neil said, I think... it would have relaxed everyone from the players to the fans. So.
In fact, you learned of their equaliser through me, who was at a wedding 5 miles down the road, because I got my BBC Sport notification, so I texted you, sake.
Yeah, and I was like, what? I haven't heard nothing. And then I went to the toilet just before I was walking up, and people going, they've equalised. So it was you that actually told me, man, you weren't there. So it was straight after half-time, to be fair, wasn't it? But I'm not striking to.
So many goals. Do you think we've cracked the reason why? Do you think that this assistant is giving half-time team talk on Zoom?
On
mute?
Yeah. Or it's buffering.
Mate, you're on mute. Because it is incredible that
straight after.
Well, whenever we've had a break in play, like even at Liverpool when they got their man
sent off,
was it who got sent off?
McAllister, yeah.
You know, after that break in play, we just seemed to, it was about 3 or 4 minutes break, so it went to VAR and all this kind of stuff. And then afterwards, for the sort of remaining half an hour,
we were
absolutely awful.
I think, to be fair, I think they take the goal really well, doesn't he? He can easily just fluff that. I mean, take the goal well. It's not there's nothing, mad errors in there and stuff. I mean, they build up the play.
Yeah, probably. The build up play. I mean, yeah, on that space, Neto, wasn't he? And there was no one around him.
Yeah,
I think Tavernier and Alex Scott were maybe closest, but he just drifted off into the space and managed to put it through to him really nicely. It's just so frustrating. And then, not long after that moment of madness from Lewis Cook, where he goes into Huang with a reckless challenge as it is, and then sort of. You know, Huang obviously reacts, squares up to him, and
why does
he just lost his head at that moment in time. It's just a little movement, but that's enough.
Yeah, he was angry when he went into the tackle, and then obviously the guy got up and pushed him. I was sat right there, and instantly we said, some people suggesting it wasn't a red. I mean,
I was playing red.
Yeah, all right, do that to someone in a pub; they're not going to go down. But this is a football game, so yeah. The minute he feels like the brush of skin, he's going to be like an axe to the head, isn't he? I mean, that's just what footballers do. And you can see on some of the stills, it was a proper contact. So, straight away, that everyone around us was going, why would he do that? Or why?
And he's come out, hasn't he, and apologised, said it was his fault, not on the team, blah, blah, blah. And he's saying what we all think. He's going, I don't know why I did it. I haven't got a clue. He said he's never done that before. So I don't know what come over me. There was no need to react like that. I don't know what's happened. So, fair play to him for that. But yeah, he did unfortunately let us down that moment. He was probably one of our best players at that point as well. I don't know, maybe he's a stranger as well, because he's finally, after a long time of us trying to establish a place, obviously injuries have played a big part. With the Tyler Adams injury as well, he's nailed on.
Yeah.
And now he's out for 3 games. And it's unlikely, but say Rafael comes in as brilliant, he might not get back in. I don't know if it's that, obviously he's had them injuries, he's now coming in, he's trying to be a bit boy, is he a little bit too pumped? I don't know. Just trying to read a bit. It was strange. I couldn't believe he done it. And it was so early in that second half as well. And it was, yes, we let in a goal, but it was 1-0. There was nothing in the game. It just killed us.
Did you see that tweet in the week? It was on Instagram from Philip Billing. I think he was talking about Israel and Palestine.
Mm.
But he started off by saying, I came away from training on Wednesday feeling angry and frustrated, but then I saw the news and it put it into context. But a lot of people just looking at our first paragraph, like, why are you leaving training angry and frustrated?
That's really interesting.
I don't know. I did see him after the game as well.
That's what Lewis Cook looked like when he went into that challenge and then what happened afterwards. Yeah. But left us in a situation where we were playing against 11 men, obviously a man down. And also, I thought they might have made more of that 40 minutes that they had, but they didn't really do much. But then right. Nor did we.
No, I mean, they're obviously going to have the lion's share of the ball, of course. That's always going to happen. Did we offer much from the break? Not really. And they were comfortable, but they needed to score with against 10 men. When Lewis got sent off, I thought, we're in the mud here. But after about 10, 20 minutes, we're all right, actually. I don't feel the calls. I think they had one in the bar, but it wasn't like Neto was having to make loads of saves, what he would anyway. And it felt as comfortable as it could do, a team that hadn't won a football match, playing against a team with a player more.
Yeah.
And what's weird, this is not a dig, but what is weird is obviously the whole narrative now about Gary Neil coming back and winning, and fair play to him, and they did get the result. But really, we've given them a win. Otherwise, if we don't just gift wrap them a goal, they played 40 minutes against a team with 10 men who haven't won a football match and couldn't bring them down. And it was exactly, I thought, the only time we're going to see our draw is because we're playing against Gary Neil. And even the sub he brought on, who ended up scoring, was a striker for a striker. He never put two up front at all with the whole game, which was strange. So, yeah, and there was a few little times, to be fair, when Dango, I can believe he was coming on. But when he come on, he wasn't too bad, to be fair to him. And there was a few times, and then Kiefer come on, and I thought, if we just chuck a ball in, could we even scab this? But obviously, Neto had other ideas.
He did. The ball, it was on, 87 minutes or whatever, and one of their attacks broke down, and it fell to Neto, who took a goal kick, so he just went out of play. So we're all strolling out at that point in time, thinking he's going to oof up the pitch.
By the way, Andoni's going like that.
Andoni's telling him to calm down.
And he's already got 3 bookings this season for time wasting.
Yeah. He plays the ball out quickly. At that point in time, there are 6 players plus him in our penalty box, ball with players.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we got 7 ball with players in our own penalty box where he's like, and Phil Beale sort of half offers himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Because Neto looked at him and he added. So there's that. There was that communication between them. But this is a bit, some people are blaming Billing for this. This is a bit where, even as an under-14s goalkeeper, as a kid, you would know, with 2 minutes to go,
just say it.
You hold the ball for as long as physically possible until the referee looks at you as if to say, come on.
Yeah.
And then you launch it to Kiefer Moore down the pitch.
Well, yeah, that's a 6-foot-4 striker.
Right, you just pull Kiefer Moore.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's your target, yet instead we're trying to play through the line. I just don't get it.
And the substitution was clear for me as well, that to kind of say, look, we're trying to get a point out of this, we're playing against 10 men. If Dom's obviously ran his race, if we're ever going to get a moment, it might just be a ball in. So let's just put Kiefer on.
Yeah.
And then at that moment, and like you say, Phil definitely wants one. He should do better once he gets it, of course. He will know that. But equally, like you say, I mean, if you're a goalkeeper there, if I'm playing and I see Bill in the corner, I go, nah. Not now, Phil. Yeah, fair play, but not now.
Max Aarons wasn't even looking at the ball. He was walking off.
We played it like a team that were 3-0 up.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what you would do. Come on, let's see if we can get a fourth.
Yeah, just stuff it. Yeah, it's close.
It was absolutely bonkers. I think part of the reason why we brought Kiefer Moore on, really, was to mark the guy that scored at a corner should walk.
Yeah, set pieces. Yeah, I agree.
So because we know what he's like. That certainly scored with his feet. But normally he's quite one-dimensional in the air. And I think Kiefer Moore was kind of, we'll have him to...
Because they might get some set pieces now.
So there was I could kind of understand the reasons behind it, but what on earth Neto was thinking? In a long line of what on earth has Neto been thinking?
And that decision maker, like we're saying there, like Neil said, kids football, you'd expect him to kick it long. That's our captain. That's our most experienced player. you know, that we spoke about leadership, but that is our most experienced player. You know, that, I mean, that says it all. He's our skipper. And
common theme here, though, like Everton fans told us about, you know, said you can't be playing your keeper again. Wolves fans were like saying, you know, we need to put pressure on their keeper because he's weak.
I'll give you a bit of kudos here, because I remember we've said this, it was like over a year ago, wasn't it? We were in the studio.
Oh yeah, with Jack Tanner.
Yeah, we'd done like a little unpopular opinion sort of thing, didn't we? And you said you don't think that is any better than Travers. And I think I've always said that I think it was the right move because of his, you know, obviously his age, he's got experience, played at big football clubs. And
has he though?
And he's been number two at every club.
Yeah.
But I just thought at that time after losing 9-0, I got it, because you thought maybe that's calming everyone down. And he did have a period where he got, but last season he made a million errors that weren't punished. His first game against Forest, he drops the ball in the last minute and they miss it.
He's got a thing of...
He never catches anything.
Shots, yeah. Down. And the reason, so the bit with Chambers was a phenomenal shot stopper. Right? Yeah. There was a slight question mark about his ability to command.
Command, yes. Yeah.
So we've just swapped him for another guy. Neto, to be fair, can be an exceptional shot stopper.
Yeah.
But his command of the box now is less than Chambers offered.
Yes.
And I think the horrible reality as well is that Radu is another poor signing from our recruitment team, because that's the word on the street that, and he didn't inspire full of confidence in the Carabao Cup games.
When we went to Swansea, every cross, he was a nightmare.
Shot out from Roma. And I think, were he in training, amazing, he would have come in 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I think the reality is we're playing Neto because he's better than Radu even now.
Yeah.
And then the other alternative is a guy that we stuck 8 past. So... Ooh. I don't know if they could pair him in the team.
Randolph doesn't even get on the bench in cup games. He just puts Neto on the bench, doesn't he? It is weird. It's a weird one. He's like a cheerleader, isn't he, on God knows what a week. But it's a strange one.
And wife.
Yeah, very nice wife, yeah. That's what we were saying, that he's talking about this experience of being at big clubs. He's never been a number one anywhere, Neto. He's never been a number one. He's always a number two, and there must be a reason for that. I briefly looked through the whole of the Premier League, and I would take every number two, apart from the number two we've got, ahead of Neto. And that's just, as I say, shot stopper, I always want a guy. I think every goalkeeper in the Premier League should be a good shot stopper, and he can make some good saves. But for a goalkeeper, as an actual goalkeeper, I don't think he's very good. I just don't think he's a very good goalkeeper. I'm watching Begovic at QBR, the Championship, we'll have him back.
And even after Neto hit the bar, the ball came back in, and to me, that was the easiest catch. Well, he drops that, and then, thankfully, when they poked it, it just went the other side of the post. But golden opportunity. That's just something so simple.
Even snapshots that kind of go straight at him, he doesn't catch it. He goes like that and then falls out. But he can't catch it. Yeah.
That shot at the end where the guy missed a sitter for Wolves, didn't he? Because he had more time than he thought.
Yeah.
I can't remember who had the shot, but he palmed that straight to him as well. And it's... But keepers are all about confidence.
Confidence
is gone. So if he starts on Saturday... It's literally because Iriola's looking at Radu, thinking, I can't play him.
Oh. Yeah. And then you go, well, who picked Radu? Because he can't, I'm not being, trying not to be too disrespectful, but if your second choice goalkeeper you've just bought in can't get in now, he'll never get in. He'll never get in. And he's on loan. So if the club are looking at him, this parent club, they're going to be going, well, he's not playing anyway. You might as well go out. I mean, I assumed he was in, he's not in the Romanian free keepers. He didn't go away. He's a fourth choice Romanian keeper.
Where's the other three? Are really good.
Yeah, man. We asked for some five-word match reports, and there were many that came in. I'll just go through a few of them. You can see them on screen here. No leaders on the pitch. Wasn't there. I'm quite glad, said James.
So are you?
Danny said, what the hell happened out there? Drop Neto. Lewis went mad. Katie, what on earth was that? John Spark said, suicidal behaviour from experienced professionals. Gary Chapman.
Five words. Your 5 words, John.
Gary Chapman, rock and roll my arse. Sloppy second, supersede solid start, said Simon. Lewis Cook lost his head. Championship is better, said David Cordell. Do fellas, we didn't need 5 words for that. Sheffield United ticket purchase regret, said Gary. And we're going through, and you know, a lot of them are talking about Neto. If he was to be dropped, who's captain then? Who would be captain? Lewis Cook out. Adam Smith, if he's not...
Lloyd Kelly or Dom Solanke, I assume.
Lloyd Kelly did it before, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I think you've got to pick someone you know is going to be a regular starter. And unfortunately,
Hang on then.
Change our side every week. We haven't got that many.
I think it's Kelly or Solanke.
Breaking the start.
It's always going to be. I think you'd rather your centre half, probably.
Yeah, you don't want to strike him,
isn't he? No, and he's already got enough bloody things to do, Dom, rather than being captain as well. He does have Fidel.
You can't.
Yeah.
In a team with an armband.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it would probably go to Lloyd, like you say, but unless Smithy come back into the team. I doubt that, because I actually thought, as much as in the general, just the game, I thought Aaron's done quite well.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, obviously, apart from the send it off, Wang was pretty non-existent on that side, and he's been doing quite well for him. So I thought Aaron's was okay, pretty steady down there, actually.
Yeah.
Mm. Just looking through, I should have left at half-time. Cook madness changes the game. Hughes and Blake are divs. Championship next season for sure. You were talking about Lloyd Kelly then. I was quite pleased, if you can call it that, that he was... You know, he was giving Neto some grief after their goal.
He was.
And he was clearly absolutely fuming at that.
He was fuming. Yeah, there will be, just because of the basicness of the error.
Yeah.
So this is not, people can stand on a ball. They can have a brain fart moment and part, you know, just do a dodgy pass. But that was a keeper that had the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Who's, how old is he?
34.
34. So he's played professional football probably for 15 years. And he doesn't know the basics of the job when you are drawing against a side with 10 men and you've got a 6'5" centre forward waving at you on the halfway line. That's why he'll have been angry, because this wasn't a, I'm falling over, or I've got my foot stuck, you know, like Billings one.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that. It was he had all the time in the world. And Iriola was fuming on the bench.
Because
he's not a man that shows a lot of emotion.
No.
He destroyed that water bottle.
Yeah. At least we've got him. He signed a new deal, didn't he? So we've got Neto till he's 37. He's in contract too. Probably on about. I think he's one of our highest paid as well. And reportedly $100,000 a week till he's 37. Neto, so he's earning that well, isn't he?
So how do we fix AFC Bournemouth? How do we fix AFC Bournemouth? This is a what is like.
We got a bloody good fixture, because Burnley looked absolutely awful at the weekend.
Well, that's it. And look, the only saving grace seems to be that there are
three teams that are
pretty bad, and maybe four, like,
you were saying 40 points.
No.
You might be
like
on 27, 28.
Yeah.
This really can be.
Yeah.
You just need to come fourth and first in a four-horse race, really.
Yeah.
Against three donkeys.
Yeah. And then there's always going to be one that's going to get pulled in, you know, whether it be an Everton or Brentford, someone else will get pulled into it. Yeah. So, which adds to it. But yeah, I agree. I think the three, we're very fortunate, the three have come up. None of them have adapted. It doesn't be wrong, like Luton are scrapping and doing all right, but none of them have adapted well enough to think. You know, there's always one. Last season, Fulham were like in Europe at this point, weren't they? There's always seems to be one. Sheffield United have done it before, when they come up first time round, where one of them go off and you think, oh, this season's not that. Them three are all going to be in it. So that's our saving grace, really. But Burnley will certainly be looking at their next fixture thinking, oh.
They'll be thinking the same. Because let's be honest, all four of us have been pretty dire. And if you were to say who's the best one, it's Luton.
Yes.
Which probably would be a surprise, but they're probably the one. Luton reminded me a little bit of a worse version of us when we came up.
Said that on the Premier League show. Yeah.
And the players aren't that special, but they all know what they're doing and they all play a system.
Siege mentality.
Yeah.
They kind of back. We saw that at the weekend when they were 2-0 down.
Yeah,
the game's over and they just put a few balls in and they keep fighting and
they got a system that they understand and they play to it.
Yeah.
We remind me of when we first came up that season and we'd play teams like Sunderland and we'd look at the team sheet and we'd think, oh God, he costs 40 million and he costs 30 million and he costs 30. And then you go out and you think, why do they spend the money on them? And I think that's what people will be looking at, like, you know, people like Ouattara and Traore, people not the Traore plays, probably thinking, oh, because if you're a Luton fan,
equals 24 costs, right?
But they're no better than what you got, mate. So I wouldn't worry about it. So how do you fix a club is a massive question, and there's no quick fix because we've got the players we've got till January. So your only other option is it the manager's fault? And I just don't think it is the manager's fault. I'm sure we can do things differently and better. All managers can, but ultimately you bring someone else in.
Same
for Burnley if we lose, and they've got to then face Man City and Newcastle without a centre midfield. Can I just make one more point as well? Look at how Man City struggle to a degree without Rodri.
Even Man City can't cope.
Everyone talks about their guest. It is the key position in the modern game, and we let Lerma walk and had no one to do it. Because I reckon if we'd had Lerma this year, we'd have had 7 or 8 points.
Yeah, it's madness. It is madness. And That was also what made that point. Like, you know, how good City are, they struggle when Rodri was out. Look how much the week, like, Arsenal got back to skip because Declan Rice is there now. Yeah. It makes a hell of a difference. Liverpool were struggling at the start of the season before.
Last year without Fabinho.
Yeah, it's such a key position. So the fact that we've lost, and he was our player of the season, Lerma, we've lost him, and the only player we've brought in when we already needed another one anyway is a player that's got a horrific injury record.
Yeah.
And was already injured when we signed him. It's a concern. And I don't really, the light says, no, there is no quick fix, is there? I don't think it's, whether it is or not, I think you can't say if it's the manager. Yeah, it's bloody October and we've had some horrible games. But I just don't see what else the owner will do. He'll just panic, in my opinion, because what else can you change to immediately do it? Because if you change, like we said, and we've spoke about a couple of people upstairs, that we can't get any more players till January. No. This is the squad. So I just think, unfortunately, this happens at football clubs. If you're on a bad run, the manager gets replaced.
The key will be if... So I would say managers lose their job for two reasons. First reason is if they've lost a squad.
Yeah.
The second reason is if they have a replacement
lined up,
been in the ear of, and they've said, yes, I'll come. So, and they're the two factors as fans we don't know. So I've not heard any whisperings at all whether Ariola's got the squad or not got the squad. But the club will know, because Frano would take someone like Adam Smith aside and say, I need to have a chat with you, mate.
What's going on, Warren?
What's the feeling? If Adam Smith says, players like him, we just bad luck. Yeah. Or if he says, we're all laughing about him after training. That's a bit we don't know as fans. That will decide whether or not he stays, along with the fact, if they have, for argument's sake, spoke to Graham Potter and Graham Potter said, I like your project, I'll come, then Iriola's history.
Yeah.
They're the two things. But of course, you've not heard any rumours.
No. I think in terms of evidence, we got rid of Tindall and clearly no one was lined up because we just went, oh, Woodgate can have it. And then we got rid of Parker and went, oh, O'Neill can have it. So I'd be very surprised if during the season we've got someone lined up at this point. I would be surprised. But yeah, we don't know. And I think it's a good point. You don't know even though you'd see the results, you think it would be all down. You don't know if then players are all going, come on, we really want to do this for Ando. You can clearly see he's an intelligent guy, like we can do this. Or they're all going, this is an absolute show. We don't know, do we? And that will play a massive part, the harmony of the squad.
I think we'll know after Saturday.
Yeah,
because I think the players will know if they don't turn it on for him Saturday. If they do want a new boss, all they have to do is go out and toss it off on Saturday and have a new boss Monday.
Yeah.
So I think we'll know a lot then.
Hypothetical question. We're 9 games in, so nearly a quarter of the way through the season. Say for the next 10 to take us through to halfway through the season. Hypothetically, would you have Gary O'Neill over Andoni Iraola as AFC board manager?
If you're talking about, you're talking now till January.
Yeah.
Then if you're talking about results, then he'd get more results because he knows the group better. And Andoni's trying to develop something new. But that's only because Gary's been here before. Yeah. I'd probably say Woodgate, but just because they know. But in terms of going forward, no, I think Andoni's a better coach.
So do you think it's Andoni or looking for? Like, he's the better longer term project in terms of what we want to achieve, but just at the moment,
he has a great players.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got more players that obviously worked for Gary in terms of just getting us results. And I think it was evident in the Wolves game that the way Gary plays suits Wolves quite well, because I think Dawson and Kilman like winning duels at the back. They're happy to be under a bit of pressure, and they play counter attack with. And last season, how many times did Tavernier turn a bit of magic and get us out of trouble? And that's what Neto does for them. So yeah, but I think AI is the future. Remember?
Yeah.
So Andoni Iraola. Yeah, I refuse to say in October with the fixtures we have that we haven't got a good coach, because the evidence suggests that, as his time as a coach in Spain, is that he is a bloody good one.
Do you think players do need to take responsibility? Got all though, because I mean under Gary O'Neill, what I would say is that despite the fact it was quite hard for us to watch at times, especially in those last four games, there seemed to be team spirit there throughout.
Yeah.
Here, I'm not sure it is, and I don't know if that's because they're being asked to do things they're not comfortable with doing. But all of them are, technically very gifted players. Maybe they just don't want to play that way. Maybe they want to play the way they played last season, the very safe, pragmatic approach.
Yeah, and that's why I think, going back to my point about why managers lose jobs, that's why I think he kept his job in that run where all of us were saying he's going to lose his job. Because I think the feedback coming from the squad upwards was, we're into this, and we're feeling it, we're on a mission together.
But we had a siege mentality then, didn't we?
We didn't in that run after the World Cup.
No.
It was that time of the season where you've got to have that. Like, we might have that, it's so early.
Yeah, we were just awful. And then they got to the stage where they, you know, as a professional footballer, then playing for, because a lot of them will have our salaries will get
halved if we go down. As soon as we were safe, is that what you're going to say?
Safe. Yeah. They switched it back off again. So I think there was a lot of, come on, we're going to do this and protect our incomes. We're not at that stage that that this year. And I think also we've got a lot of players this year who will go if we go down. So I think Solanke would be gone. I think Tabs would be gone. And I think all of those Sinisterra Traorés would be ringing their agent going, you know.
Get me out of there, yeah.
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 So I think there's a, it, you know, it would be a very, very different scenario. But
do you think there is a shirking of responsibility because we've got so many of these players that have been bought for, you know, big amounts?
Yeah.
So you, some players just want to pass it to, you know, you do it. There's no one's really
young as well. They're a young group.
And they'll know what they're on. And we've just, you know, it's always been my fear of going down this route of signing average £40 million or £27 million foreign players. They'll be on a whacking great sum of cash, and then you've got people in the changing room who think, well, because Sinisterra will be on a fortune. And there'll be players looking at it and thinking, what are you bringing to this?
Yeah, well,
yeah, when he messes around in the warm-ups, I watch him, it looks like he doesn't want to be here. He comes on and looks like he doesn't want to be here. You know, and you've got someone who's an honest worker sat across looking at him in the changing room thinking, he's probably on about 70 or 80 grand a week. I'm on 35. This is the problem when you destabilize. You're probably better going to get a 15 million player from 10 to 15 million pound player from the championship than you are going to get a 27 million pound player from Italy or for up. You've got to go on the next stage to get 50, 60 million pound players. And I think, you know, we've just filled a changing room full of the Kluivert, Sinisterras, Traorés. You think they're not here with work ethic. They're not here.
You don't feel like it.
To give their all.
And a lot of these, like you say, a lot of these players, new Smithies and stuff, they'll be going, we let Jadon Anthony, who worked his bollocks off for the team, you know, gave us everything, he's worked his way up to, he's earned the right to play. We get rid of him for you, who's just coming around, not really doing anything, and you're on more money. And that kind of culture and that in the dressing room won't be good. And it wouldn't surprise me if there is like little divisions in there, which is not ideal. Well, we know it, but that's how it feels at the moment, doesn't it? But I was going to say what Neil said in terms of what he said about Gary O'Neill. You could make the case of him getting us together to keep us up, but I always think the side of a good manager is when there's nothing to play for, can he still get the best out of them? And with them final games where there was nothing to play for, we looked absolutely atrocious. Yeah. So then it makes you think, as Neil kind of mentioned, they were players to stay up and keep their salaries. They weren't. Was that just the manager? Because when it was for the manager to keep his job or, you know, to see him through next season, but there was nothing else, they were hopeless.
Yeah.
So it depends how you look at it, really.
It's an interesting one. And I do think we'd have more points if we had Gary O'Neill.
Yeah, I do.
And it just depends, what do you want from your football club? Do you want to be, you know, that side like West Brom were with Pulis, or, you know, Stoke were with Pulis, where you're playing to stay in the Premier League and keep the money tap on? Yeah. Or do you want to entertain the fans and run the risk that you might go down as a result?
Yeah.
You know? And it's subjective. So there's a lot of fans that would say, I just want to be in the Premier
League. Yeah, that's fine.
I'd rather have Gary O'Neill, and I'd rather grind results out and play Man United and Liverpool every season. Yeah. The other fans, and I'd be in the other fan camp.
Yeah, so
I'd be like, I'd rather be entertained than be in the Championship and try and come back up.
But, yeah, 100%.
You know, no one's right, no one's wrong. It's just your own personal opinion.
Yeah, it's just your opinion. So I know that whatever league we're in, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
So I'd rather watch something that, and, you know, this meant with no disrespect, but I've never been so bored in my life than Gary O'Neill football. And I just thought, I'd rather go down and play. And that's, as Neil said, that's not everyone. Some people think that's mad, and fair enough. Because some people go, I don't give a shit how we play, as long as we stay out. That's just not why I go to football.
Yeah.
You know,
even if you can win the league. So if you get the league, you can win.
Yeah. Oh,
I can understand being more pragmatic and thinking we're going to get this title or get into Champions League and we're going to grind some results out. We're not in a league we can win. So we might as well have a bit of fun.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, that's good, wasn't it? That was good. Do you feel better?
Yeah, a little bit of therapy, mate. That's fine. We'll win at the weekend.
I mean, I think, you know, a win is absolute key. It's just a shame that win could happen.
Imagine if we beat Burnley, right? We could be out of the drop zone, which is mental. If we beat Burnley, we could be out of the relegation zone. Beat Liverpool. We'll go to a quarterfinal of the Cup.
Fine. Yeah. It's just a shame.
Then we're going to see you at Newcastle.
Had we got that win earlier, like a held on against Brentford?
I think West Ham first game.
Before they
got their signings.
Chelsea,
that Dom Solanke chance. You just think, you know, we haven't seen a confident side yet. Obviously, we've seen a win in the Carabao Cup twice, but we haven't seen.
We stuttered over the line against two very average championship opponents.
But what's frustrating with Andoni's system? Like, even if we have a, you know, sort of 11 players that are full of confidence after a win, we know that the wingers will be swapped out next game because that's what he does. he keeps swapping, he keeps shopping.
Oh yeah, because of the, and when you've got 25 winners, you're gonna try and get them all in. Yeah, yeah, but
yeah, it's difficult keeping them all happy. It's difficult keeping us happy at the moment. Sorry if it's been a bit doom and gloom, but we've tried to be as productive as we can. Maybe we've not quite answered the question of how to fix AFC Bournemouth. Look, there's a lot to it, but we definitely need a win at the weekend. If you like this video, or if you listen to a podcast, be sure to give it a positive review or comment. Obviously, a thumbs up on YouTube's wholly appreciated too. Neil, it's been a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, lovely to be back. Maybe next time in more happy circumstances.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Tom, as always, it's been great.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Out the cherries.
Billy, left footed. It's a cheeky one. Square!
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.